My recipe, I say it and I threaten it every year, is Wendy's. I've been threatening to go to Wendy's and buy a couple gallons of their chili and then sort of blow it away here. I think it would give it away when you see the little square chunks of hamburger. But anyway, if you have your Bibles open, if you will, to the book of Genesis, chapter 37. Genesis 37, and God tells us in Psalm 33, verse 12, it's on the overheads in your handout. God says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Understand this, blessed, happy, blessed beyond understanding is the nation whose God is the Lord. This morning we're going to have a very, I would admit, an unusual title. Joseph, Egypt, and America. With elections a few days away, really, 9 days, 10 days away or so, and I believe it's imperative for us to understand a little bit fuller about the blessings of this land, what God has done and what God is doing. Often we look in America and we read the headline news and we see chaos, we see problems all over the place, and we hear the Republicans have the answer, we hear the Democrats have the answer, we hear the independents have the answer, and there's much debate about what's going on, and we see the foundations of this great Republic of America. The Republic is a beautiful thing because a Republic gives you and I the capability of going out and voting. If we don't like what's happening, a Republic, we have the freedom. I mean, we're blessed, aren't we blessed? Greatest land, greatest nation on earth. This nation of America has been founded upon Judeo-Christian values. Don't ever forget that, because that is something that we are not being taught today or told. Literally hundreds and hundreds and literally thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands of articles and letters written, the early church fathers. But I tell you, America is set apart from every other nation on this globe. I believe God ordained and God set up our founding fathers in a special, supernatural, divine way. I really do. This land did not just come into existence, and there was lots of wisdom that was exercised within our founding fathers when we see the foundation of America brought together. Even our three branches of government is from the Lord. We read in Scripture, in fact, in Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22, it says, for the Lord is our judge, the judicial branch. The Lord is our lawgiver, the legislative branch. And the Lord is our king, that's the executive branch. So we see the foundation of America is built upon Scripture over and over. We see in the great buildings and institutions in Washington, D.C., we see God all over. We see Scripture all over. And yet today we see a systematic dismantling, so to speak, of America. Let's remove all the Scripture out of the Washington Monument. Let's go to the halls of Congress and remove all the various things with Scripture. I mean, this is what's happening. We see a lot of attempts being made to even taking God We Trust off your coin, any dollar bill, and take it off. And so what they just did not too long ago is a new currency they're placing in God We Trust around the rim, because the rim wears off really fast, so God will wear off really quick, and then we won't have it on our coins. So we see a lot happening, but our founding fathers were very wise. Understand this, that God blesses nations whose God is their Lord. And God judges nations who God isn't their Lord. There's many, many gods today in our world. There's many, many gods in various nations, and they aren't all the same. We serve the Creator God, Jehovah, God Almighty. The one that loved us so much that he sent his son into this world to die in your place, because you're not able to die and pay the penalty for your sin because you and I are sinners. But thank God for Jesus. Christianity is set apart in this world like no other religion. See, God blesses those nations. America, I believe, stands at a crossroad today in the future elections that we see right around the corner, 8 days away. This morning we're going to look at a story. In fact, I said it was going to be unusual because of a story of a man named Joseph. He was a young man, but Joseph and Egypt, and in America. We're going to sort of highlight and jump back around on that, but I think you're going to see some interesting things. This young man named Joseph, God raised him up. God raised him up to make a major difference in the world, and in particular, a major difference in the lives of so many people in the nation of Egypt. If you have your Bibles, in verse 2 of chapter 37, it says, this is the account of Jacob. And we start to read about Jacob was the father. It said, Joseph, a young man of 17. He was tending the flocks with his brothers, the son of Bilhah, and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And he brought their father a bad report about them. And now Israel, which is Jacob, and Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age. And he made a richly ornamented robe for him, this coat of many colors. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him, could not speak a kind word to him. We see Joseph was a young man. He was only 17. He was tending his father's flocks. He was faithfully busy. He was doing what God wanted him to do. And we see Joseph highly favored. We see the father, Israel, or Jacob, we see him giving him a specially made coat, this coat of many colors, and it sort of set him apart. But we were seeing that he was taking sides. He was sort of saying, man, I like you better than all my other sons. I mean, that's not a good thing to do. And so what we see is he showed partiality by giving those gifts, and he loved Joseph more than his other children, and resentment started to build. The anger started to seethe, and the bitterness started to happen deep inside of them, and that root of bitterness kept getting greater and greater, and the same with us today. We can have a little tiny anger issue or a little bitterness down there, and folks, it'll just keep growing unless it's handled. And so this bitterness in the brothers just kept growing and growing and growing to the point where they said that they hated him, and they could not speak a kind word to him in verse 4. Everything they said about him was slander and gossip, and they just ripped at him, ripped him, ripped him, ripped him. There was not a kind word that they said. There was constant tearing down and never building up. The brothers hated him. We see a truth, I believe, and in fact, that hatred escalates all the way up to the very point of a murder. But we see a point that we need to understand is highly favored and yet so hated. Joseph was highly favored by his father. Highly favored he was very partial to him. He gave him these special gifts, and it just caused the brothers around him to hate his guts. Didn't want anything to do with him. And they despised him. And in fact, I cannot help to think about America. God has blessed America. And America, because America is good, America has been built upon the Judeo-Christian values, God has used America to bless so many people around this world. We can look at food or medicine or supplies or the expertise, various inventions, technology, protection from aggressors. And oftentimes we see that over the years. Look at World War I, World War II, and we see the aggressors with Stalin and Hitler and how God has used us, America, in order to quell back the forces of evil, of Nazism. And man, I tell you what, some horrible things. God used us. God's blessed us for that. We have seen missionaries throughout this world that has been sent by America. Over and over and over, America was in the foreground of the great missionary movement that moved from America and the shores of America throughout the whole world. And you as Christians and I as Christians and Christians that lived all during this time supported those missionaries through the church giving and the churches supported missionaries, and the gospel message went all over. And you mark it down, there's literally going to be millions upon millions upon millions of people, Christians in heaven, because of the gospel message of this missionary endeavor via America. America has been blessed so, so many ways. See, we enjoy freedoms today that is the envy of the world. Freedoms that like no other country has. Everyone wants to come to America, but nobody wants to leave. Isn't that the truth? You know, if you don't like America, leave. But nobody ever does. A lot of the movie stars will talk awful about America and how horrible we are. Leave. They don't. They hang in here because they have the freedom. And so thank God for the freedoms that we have, that we can voice our opinion. Amen. We can talk. We can share. We have a liberty to do that. And we are so blessed. We enjoy those freedoms. Yet we are so highly favored, yet so hated. You think about it. We're despised by the world. So many people look at us and big arrogant America, big wealthy America, big highly sinful America. Yeah, there are a lot of cases that is absolutely true. We're so blessed but yet so hated. We're so loved and yet so hated. We see one of the reasons I believe the freedoms here is we see the blessings of the freedoms here in America, I think, is because of Christianity. Don't you? A lot of people, we'll talk a little bit more about this later, but I tell you what, you can follow along, you can historically track it across every civilization and every country in this world. And you mark it down where they stand on scriptures and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, it's very, very revealing. It's true. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. God will bless them. God tells us that he pours a blessing out, a special anointing out upon that land as its people maintains their integrity with him and walks with him. Jesus said this in John chapter 15, verse 19. It says, if you belong to the world, it will love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. Jesus said that I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. We can see it. A love-hate relationship. You know, everyone wants to come here, and especially to enjoy the freedom in order to propagate propaganda, propagate their lifestyle, propagate whatever it might be. We have the freedom to do that. Another point under this first point of Joseph the young man is believe God desires to use you. Like Joseph, he was highly favored, and yet people around him hated him. I cannot help but think that you and I as Christians, we fit in that same category. We're highly hated among the world. People look at Christianity and Christians in particular and say, man, you are no good. You're homophobic. You're bigots. You're this. You're that. You're hate. You're filled with hate. You're no good. You're despised. You're rejected. The same as Joseph. But understand this, that God chose Joseph. God anointed Joseph. And I believe that God was going to use Joseph. As you're going to see, he used him in a great way. And I believe God's going to use Christians in a great way too. And I believe he wants to. God, we must believe that God desires to use you. You say, well, who am I amongst millions? Who am I as one little citizen of America? Yeah, sort of like you feel outgunned and outnumbered, don't you? Sometimes you don't want to, you just understand and believe this, that God wants to use you. He desires that. You are unique. You are handcrafted. You are, in particular, the apple of God's eye. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. And understand this, that no matter what goes on in your life, he loves you. And he is there to draw you back and to pull us back to himself. See, you and I, can be used by God, just as Joseph was used by God as a 17-year-old. Second point we must understand, we see Joseph's life, that he not only was highly favored, yet hated, and how God was going to use him as a 17-year-old, but we see that Joseph was also a dreamer. He was a dreamer. In verse 5 in chapter 37, it says, Joseph had a dream. Let me just say this, is a God-given dream. He had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. So now they hated him in the first place because of the partiality the father showed him, and Their hearts became bitter, more and more bitter. They grew. But in verse 6, he says, listen to this dream I had. Verse 7, we were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheave rose up and stood upright. And while your sheaves gathered around mine, your sheaves bowed down to it. And then his brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And notice this phrase, they hated him all the more because of the dream of what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. And when he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him, and he said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? Now get the picture here. God is the dream giver, and God gave Joseph some dreams. The first dream was they were binding sheaves out in the field. Those sheaves, you were binding the sheaves and the wheat, and you were standing up the sheaves. And his sheaves stood higher, and the other 11 sheaves, which was his brother's, came, and those sheaves bowed down to him, which was his sheaf, was higher than the others. Then he had another dream, and this other dream shows the sun and the moon. Sun is his father, Jacob, and the moon, his mom. And the 11 stars, or the stars up there, the 11 stars were his brothers. And they were, what were they doing? They were bowing down to him. Wow, dreams, visions. We see the Lord preparing Joseph for something major. Over in to step the story along quickly, in verse 18 of chapter 37 of Genesis, it says this, but they saw Joseph coming in the distance, and before he reached them, the brothers, they got together, they plotted to kill him. Here comes that dreamer, they said to each other. Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns, one of these pits, and say that a ferocious animal devoured him, and then we'll see what comes of his dreams. His dreams he's getting, they don't hold any water. His dreams don't mount to a hill of beans. He's bowing, we're going to bow down to him? No way. We're going to kill this guy once and for all. I believe that's the attitude a lot of people have toward Christians today. Verse 28, it says, so when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites who took him to Egypt. And verse 36, just to build the story quickly here. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. We see two men, two of the brothers, really, Reuben was the one that said, hey, we ought not to kill our own brother, our own flesh and blood. Let's not kill him. And so let's throw him down in this pit. And so, you know, until you know the story, they threw him down in the pit. And then ultimately, here comes God's ordained caravan of the Ishmaelites come riding by. Isn't that something how God's always perfect timing? So the Ishmaelites come by, and Jacob then, Joshua, he said, let's bring him back up out, and let's take him, Judah suggested selling him to the Ishmaelites. And that's exactly what they did. They brought him up out of the pit, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites, who took him down into Egypt and sold him to Potiphar, okay, the captain of the guard. See, the Lord, I believe, is a dream giver. The Lord knows the future. And down the road, the Lord was looking at Egypt. What was going to happen was 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. And God was preparing. God was using his man, his servant, Joseph, in a great way. Even though he went into the pit, even though he was despised, God gave him those dreams. The 11 sheaves bowing down, and then the sun and the moon and the stars. He was hatred to the nth degree. They hated him with a passion to the point of wanting to kill him, and they plotted to kill this dreamer, to hide him. So in Egypt now, as he was sold to Potiphar, here he is, totally changed in his whole direction of his life. Jewish historians believe that Potiphar was the chief of the executioners. They believe he was a very powerful man in Egypt, not a believer, but a pagan, that believed in the many gods that the Egyptian culture believed in that in those days. one of the big gods was the fly god, the god of flies. You know, the god of water, the Nile River. I mean, they have many, many gods. And so Potiphar was very influential. He was a very powerful man. And Potiphar, I could just see him standing at the where the slaves were being sold, and who's giving me the best money, and they would be auctioned off, and all of a sudden everyone looking at young 17-year-old Joseph up there, whom Potiphar bought. We see that God sovereignly moved in Joseph's life. So many ways that, what a change, tending to his father's sheep, now as a slave. Hated by his brothers, thrown into a pit, sold as a slave, and now in the household of Potiphar. Brand new culture, a brand new environment, a brand new language that he had to learn, a brand new relationships, everything changed. God was moving mightily in Joseph's life. Understand this, the sub point is that the Lord prepares his children. God prepares his children. In fact, it's fascinating if we look, and we're going to continue this over the next few weeks, but we're going to look at Joseph's life in a greater way. But God was preparing Joseph. Those early 17 years of his life, God was preparing him, and he was found faithful, and God ordained that he was going to be his servant, that he could make a difference in other people's lives. He was going to be obedient to him. But God was preparing. Joseph was 17 years old, but God prepared him for 13 years. 13 years later, as we're going to see next week, is 13 years later before he finally became the prince, the ruler of the nation, and second in command of Egypt. And in fact, he served in that ministry or served in that area of capacity as a servant for 80 years. Think about it. So we see 30 years of his life, and he was 30 years old when he finally became a great ruler there in Egypt. The Lord prepares his children. God is preparing you. You might not think it. You might think, oh boy, you know, oh no, God isn't working in my life. Yes, he is. Often we don't know it, but he's there. He doesn't change, and God in the year 2010, he is still working in the hearts and the lives of his children. You are important in God's program, and if you don't think that, you're believing a lie. God has a plan for your life, a purpose for your life. You do not exist just to take up space and to eat and sleep and go to bed. But God has saved your soul for a reason. He has a plan for your life, and a perfect plan, a beautiful plan. We need to realize that. See, the Lord is still preparing his children. I believe that we, every one of us, exist for a reason. The Lord Jesus, he calls us all to be difference makers. He calls us all to be salt and light of this world. To be salt, to be light, to make a difference, to stand apart, not to conform with the world, not to live like the world, not to think like the world, not to act like the world, but to be different. We have been saved through the precious blood of Christ. And he says, because of that, walk as children of the light, not as children of darkness. See, and I believe that oftentimes we as Christians, we have gotten away from that dream. God calls us out of darkness into his glorious light. Ephesians 2:10, the Lord says, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. As light, are we shining bright? As salt, are we being salty? Are we making a difference? Are we flavoring the world around us, our culture around us? See, it's very important. As a believer, do you have a dream? And what's your dream? What's your vision for America? Do you think God is able to do some mighty things in America? I have a dream that God is going to just, someday that maybe our children can pray and read the Bible in public school. Wouldn't that be a good thing? I have a dream that could happen. It used to be when I went to school, we could. But somewhere along the line, we can't. It's illegal. You can't do this. In fact, we hear the words thrown around a lot about separation of church and state. But you know what? It's very fascinating to state that out, that don't hold any water. But yet, hook, line, sinker, Americans are sucked right down to it. I tell you what, that phrase has not even found any traction until 1963, when it finally got put into encyclopedia. We see so much things in America that's going on that's not good. But I dream that we're going to have liberty and freedom. I dream that we're a place where hard work will pay off. A dream where we see that there won't be any more abortions. Isn't that a wonderful dream? That we'll see how God just blesses. No more abortions. A dream of where truth will prevail. I go on and on. A dream of where we see a renewed America coming back to the values of our founding fathers, of what we were built upon originally. A dream of where our political leaders maintain a balanced budget. That would be a good thing. You have to in your family. Every families have to. All families. And I tell you what, oftentimes you live beyond your means, and I have a dream of the politicians bringing us back to some semblance of reality. A dream of a wonderful liberty, a place where you can have free speech. Just this past week, Juan Williams was just dismissed and fired over the telephone from NPR radio. Big controversy. He didn't say something politically correct. Is there free speech? What's happening to it? See how a dream, I tell you, we look at free speech, we look at our liberties, we look at the freedoms, and I have a dream that God can do a great thing in America. Do you believe He can? I believe He can. And I believe God wants to use us just as He used a 17-year-old boy to bring a huge, major change in Egypt. As you're going to see, I tell you what, I think God can use us today in a major way. He prepares His children. But we must be awful careful always of dream stealers. People who will steal your visions. People who will steal your dreams. It's sad to say that many politicians are out to steal your dreams and steal your vision of what God can do. Yesterday it was reported on Fox News Network, an excellent news, fair and balanced network, but they said this, quote, what we see is a civil rights complaint was filed against a Michigan woman. And a civil rights complaint filed against a Michigan woman because this woman posted a wanted ad on a bulletin board at her church. Get that. At her church. And what was said on that ad, it says, looking for a Christian to share an apartment with. We might be in violation here. There might be something on the bulletin board that says the same thing. I don't know. Here's what the government says. Quote, this ad expresses an illegal preference for a Christian roommate, thus excluding people of other faiths. And now she is now threatened with a fine of $700, special sensitivity training for violating the Fair Housing Act. Folks, does this sound like political correctness to you? I say yes. Our government. Make more laws. More bureaucracy, grow the government. Now, if you're a government employee here, forgive me, but we need to shrink the government. It's the people. We the people, not we the government. You know, sometimes we get things backwards, we get things reversed. We need to pray for America. See, I have a dream where God is going to right all these wrongs, and I tell you what, someday God is going to bring together a brand new kingdom, isn't it? Going to be Jesus himself when he comes back. He's going to rule and reign. And he's going to set up this kingdom. And it's going to last forever. Perfect kingdom. Perfect righteousness. Perfect truth. We must beware of vision stealers. See, Joseph was given this God-sized dream, this God-sized vision. And people around Joseph says, oh, it's not going to happen, man. No way. We aren't going to bow down to you, Joseph. We aren't going to happen. Your dream is no good. And we have people today that wants to steal our vision, the people today that wants to back us off and say, the pundits and the political ads or the polls or whatever it might be, you have no way, man. You can't. This America is too far gone. You're not going to ever take back this country. It's too corrupt. There's too much this and too much money and too much political maneuvering behind the scenes. And I tell you what, don't let someone steal your dream. The Lord is the one that's going to do it. put your faith in him and not up in politicians. Put your faith in the Lord. Don't let anyone steal your dream. Thirdly, we see Joseph, the servant. Verse 1 of chapter 39, it says, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian, was one of the Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. He bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. But notice this phrase in verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything that he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. And the blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. Joseph was a servant. 17-year-old, as he's growing in that position of a servant in Potiphar's house. But you notice in verse 2, the phrase, the Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered. The Lord was with him. God was with Joseph. And in fact, understand, sometimes we think that God has departed us. You as a believer, if you don't think God is really involved intricately in your life, you start to depart and start to cast off restraint. Start to drift, start to get away from him. But I tell you what, the Lord is with us. And as we start to understand and walk by a thing called faith, it's powerful. The scripture says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We need to have faith, trust, belief that God is real. God is alive today. And God is interacting in the affairs of man and the affairs of America and the affairs of our lives in an intricate way. We walk by faith. Not by sight. Yeah, we look around us. Everything is scary. Everything is the pundits. Everything is money. Everything is advertisements. I just don't even want to turn TV on anymore because all you see is the ads. You walk away from it. You know, you're like, whoa, here's another one. Here's another one. Who do you vote for? The Lord is with Joseph. The Lord is with you. See, notice verse 3. It says, Potiphar, he saw that the Lord was with him. You notice that's important to see that. In other words, it was obvious. Potiphar, the pagan Egyptian there, he knew that the Lord was with this man, Joseph. And it was obvious to him. He looked around his life and he saw that God was all over his life. He was being salt and he was being light. He was making a difference. And the Lord allowed Potiphar to give him more and more authority, more and more power. And he handled all of the affairs in the household. He handled all of his possessions out in the fields. Everything that he had was handed to Potiphar, or handed to Joseph from Potiphar. Notice carefully verse 5, very interesting verse. We see in verse 5, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of who? Isn't that interesting? Here is an unsaved man, probably the chief executioner, powerful military commander, high rank, and everything about his life was being blessed by God. Why? Because of Joseph. Because who was Joseph? Who are you? Are you any different than him? Who are you? God is calling you to make a difference in your life, in your sphere, in your world. Are you? See, this is so truth that we can hear this and understand that God is working in powerful ways. God doesn't change. We oftentimes do, but God doesn't. Notice the Egyptian was blessed because the Lord's hand was upon his servant Joseph. We can look at contrasting with America and other countries in this world, and there's many, many contrasts we can make. I can think of Russia. You know, Alex, he's on the earlier service, he's from Russia, and you know, and it's so true, but Russia has been a very atheistic country for many, many years. For many years, they blocked the Bible from coming in and missionaries from coming in there, and it's been like a dark country, a dark world. Communism is not good. Socialism is not good. And as all the big spiritual blockage was around them. Now you look at Russia, and I walk around to air shows, and sometimes you look at our stealth fighters, or you look at the fighter jets that we have. I mean, just like it just blows you away to see the intricacy and the beauty of the way they make and the way Americans makes the machinery and make all this mechanism of this big machine to make it fly. And then the technology of the navigational system, the technology of the rocketry and the missiles, and how you can multiple targets. You can hit this target, that target, another one flying over here, four on the ground. I mean, you just can multiply all this out and hit some buttons and everything. All these missiles go all these different directions. I mean, just fascinating. Oh, then you look at some of the Russian MiGs. And you look at the archaic way of the... I'm just trying to contrast a little bit here. They're very archaic. They're very old in design. And I tell you, Russia always gets along. They put a big, heavy airplane out there. But what they have to do is make up in performance. They put a great, big, huge engine in there to make it go fast. Okay? Americans, the technology. Why is it that their technology is so different than ours? The blessing of God. You know, I tell you what, you can mark it down, go all the way through all the different nations of this world, and you can compare it and see it. The differences, they're really vivid. Nations that's built upon Christ, upon the gospel, upon Jesus Christ and the Word of God is blessed. Nations that turn their back upon God are cursed. They're put back. And often those nations have many, many gods. That's not the God of the Bible. We see in Russia itself a sad statistic. Out of every 100 births in Russia, 200 abortions happen. Out of every 100 live births, 200 babies are aborted. The abortions are performed normally free, or you can pay up to $50 for an abortion. The average Russian woman today has 6 abortions in her lifetime. 6 of them. The average Russian. Many Americans go to Russia to adopt children. Many, many children. Their main form of birth control is abortion. I'm just giving you a contrast. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Amen. We are blessed. Understand this blessing. America has been blessed so far, but great success brings great test. And folks, upon the plate of America today, that comes down to every one of us. Healthcare, illegal immigration. We look at the financial crisis that we are confronted with here in America. We look at terrorism. We look at so many things. But let me just say this. Great success will always bring great test. We've been blessed. And what is upon our plate? Our test. Well, how do we respond to those tests? Whether it's an individual that has great success, that you will have tests, or whether it's a family, a church, or a nation. And we're going to see how Joseph was so blessed, and now we see Potiphar, his wife, comes into the picture. We'll see that next week. But how his wife came in, which was a great test, that actually get Joseph thrown back into prison again. I believe America has been successful and blessed so much, but yet we have grown so bloated materially. Drifting from the Lord and drifting from the strength and the truth of God's word, we have sort of gotten so far away from God. Understand this one thing and this truth, that the answer is not in politicians, but the answer is in the Lord. Remember, we read that verse earlier. It's in the Lord. And it's as you and I, as God's people, meeting God in prayer and putting our prayers into action. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. See, great success brings great test. Personally, standing firm, we have to be careful. We must get this. because this is a truth that I think we need to drive home at the very end of the message, is blessings flow through God's people. Just as it was in Joseph, it's very important to understand that the blessings of God flowed through Joseph, affecting all of Potiphar, everything. Folks, the same thing with us. You are specially called by God. You've been redeemed, been bought with a price. The Lord Jesus Christ died for you, and in your place he shed his blood for you. Understand this, that you can be a tremendous blessing to people around you. You might not think it, but you can be. And you should be. You should be being a blessing to people. I believe the Lord's blessings will flow through us, affecting the culture around us, affecting our world around us, and affecting our nation. And this nation has one nation under God. Very important to realize. You might feel young. You might feel insignificant. You might feel like, you know, there's no, you know, I can't do anything because of, you know, the world's just going so bad and the country's going so bad and my dreams is sort of dwindled out. That you don't dream of a good America. I do. I think God's able to do some mighty things. Amen. Do you guys do it? I think he's able to. And I think he wants to. But it's all dependent upon his people. Allow God to use you in the coming days. Be in prayer. Be knowledgeable. Be energized to make a difference. And I think a very important ingredient is be committed to vote. You might say, well, I don't really vote very much, but do that. Let me encourage you to vote. I'll never tell you to vote Republican or Democrat or Independent, but I will tell you to vote your values. Vote what matters to you. If you want to see this country great again, righteousness exalts a nation. That's how it happens. You know, we are not just some kind of a little enigma that just sort of happens here in America that just sort of, God ordains these nations. God brings all these together. God brings the politicians together. God brings the world together. God, every nation, God tells us in Acts that he places upon this earth for a certain reason, a certain time, certain days like this. And you can make a difference. I believe, see, the choice is not in a political party, but the choice is in righteousness of Christ. Ronald Reagan said, if we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. That is true. That is biblical. And it's played out over the years in nations across this world. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34 is true. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Be sure to exercise your freedom, your liberty, your duty by voting your values come election day. I think it's very important. And like never before, this election, yeah, we are so blessed by having a republic form of government. Amen. That we can choose our leaders. Or we can de-choose leaders. Amen? We can. We go both ways. You know who to vote for. I don't need to tell you. You vote righteousness. You vote your values. You vote what's important to you. Allow God to be glorified. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for this day. Thank you, Lord, for these dear folks. And I pray, Lord, that you will just take these feeble words that were spoken, Lord, sink them deep in our hearts. Father, I ask that we, as your people, who are called by your name, will humble ourselves and pray and seek your face, turn from our wicked ways. Lord, then you say that you will hear from heaven, you will forgive our sin, and you will heal our land. Lord, I land these healing in so many areas. Father, our people needs healing. And Father, we as your children are called to be salt and light in this culture and in our world. Help us, O God, to shine bright. Help us to be the flavor that flavors this world and our culture around us. God, help us to walk with you and not walk with the world. help us to take a stand for righteousness, not for the gray areas of sin. Oh, God, do a work among us. Lord, raise us up just as you...